Parshas Vayigash, the famous Zavar from the Beis Halevi in Parshas Vayigash, which the truth is, if you look in Kliyaka, I think the Kliyaka, after you see the Beis Halevi, then you go see the Kliyaka, you see it's Kemat Mefurash in Kliyaka. But the Beis Halevi says over from the Medrash, famous Medrash that says in the name of Abba Kain Bardala, Oilonu Liyayim Adin, Oilonu Liyayim Atachacha, woe is the day of judgment, woe is the day of admonishment, we're going to get that Musar. And he makes the following drush, if Yosef was unable, if the brothers that were much lower than Yosef, so to say, they were unable to answer him, they couldn't handle his rebuke. And that's what the pasuk says, that Yosef tells him, so they couldn't answer him. So says the Medrash, if the brothers who were outranked Yosef, they were higher level than him, and they couldn't handle his Musar, what a kol shekein, what are we going to do on the day when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us our big Musar speech, Achim Evesim, how are we going to be able to handle the Yom HaDin? So writes the Medrash. The Kliyaka writes on this Medrash that this Medrash is so important that for this whole Medrash is why Yosef said the words, Ha'or Avichai. The whole storyline, says the Kliyaka, of why Yosef tells his brothers, Ha'or Avichai, my father's still alive, was to bring out this Medrash. The problem on the Medrash is, as the Kliyaka points out, and so does the Beis Halevi, what was Yosef asking? He knows Yaakov was still alive. Why is he asking again? For the last two psukim, everything is talking about my father and my father and my father. You knew he was alive. So what type of kash is the first thing you're going to ask your brothers when you finally reveal who you are, is my father still alive? You know the answer. So the Kliyaka says, no, he thought they were lying. He thought they made this story up about his father still alive to get mercy out of them, to tell them about their aging. You know, it always sounds good in a story, my aging father, that it makes them more compassionate. So he figured that this would be a selling point. So Yosef wasn't really sure, is this true or is it not true? Did they make up his Baba Maisa to tell me, or is it really true? So when he finally revealed himself, he tells Taka, Ha'or Avichai, I want to know the truth. That's the way the Kliyaka answers. The Beis Halevi says over a very famous vart that I think every mashkiach in yeshiva says over. The Beis Halevi suggests that what Yosef was telling his brothers was a shtickle musar shmus. He was giving them a musar shmus. Where was the musar shmus? He just asked them a question. Says the Beis Halevi, what he was saying to them was, as big talkers, you guys. All you talked about for the last two parashias was my father and the pain of my father, anguish of my father and the suffering of my father. Do you really care that much about your father's pain and suffering? Because if you were to really care that much about your father's pain and suffering, how would you have done what you did? You had no problem selling me and causing my father all this anguish and pain. And now you come back telling us, no, you feel bad, you're worried about your father. Ha'or Avichai, my father's still alive? Really? That's what's important to you? That's what really matters to you? Says the Beis Halevi, he was giving them Musar. What was the Musar Shmuz, says the Beis Halevi? The Musar Shmuz is many times we make up excuses in our minds and we decide that this is a valid excuse. Then, as time goes on, we realize that our excuse has no validity whatsoever. Because we contradicted ourselves. We ourselves disprove our excuses. Like over here, says Yosef. The brothers were saying that they worry about their father's health and his well-being, but they had no problem. They were not considering his wealth and well-being when they sold Yosef down the river, so to say. Says the Beis Halevi, that's Pshat in the Medrash. What are we going to do when we come back? We got a whole book of excuses of why we didn't do X and why we didn't do this and why we should have done this. We have all the excuses in the world. I tell people, teaching high school boys, you learn one thing. The worst excuses you can ever hear is teaching high school boys. I can tell you the excuses that I heard of why kids can't take a test, why they can't do homework. A kid comes to me on Friday, right? Tells me he's not coming to yeshiva. I said, why? His brother's afruf. I said, are you cooking the food or are you preparing the food? Which one? Mm-hmm. Told me neither. I have a caterer. I said, where do you need to be? It's a short day. I said, still, what do you need to be doing? He told me, no, I need to go home. My parents need me home. Okay, you can't fight with the parents. But come on, what type of excuse is this? I have kids, they tell me their brothers are getting married, they're missing 3 days of yeshiva. I said, I didn't miss that much yeshiva when I got married. Forget alone a sibling. And I remember one of my siblings got married, I was in yeshiva for Shabbos. And one of the yeshivas asked me, what are you doing here for Shabbos? It's Shabbos, Shabbos brachas. I said, it's local, I can walk over, it's not a big deal. And I'm not, today it's always these excuses, we can't. So it says to Beis Halevi, what are we going to answer Kosh Baruch when he tells us, why didn't you do this? You say, I was too tired, I couldn't do it, I had no energy. You had no energy. You had tons of energy to do a lot of other things in the world. You found the energy and you found the time for other things. So says the Beis Halevi, if so, so then it's like a very scary Yom HaDin. The Yom HaDin is so scary because we feel confident that we have what to answer, we have what to bring. We have all the excuses, we know why we can't do this and we can't do that, and why we're potter from this and we potter ourselves off from that. Says the Beis Halevi, it's all going to be disproved by ourselves. We're going to be our worst advocate because we're going to show in other areas and other situations that we were able to do it. So then Kosh Baruch Hu says, Taka, so something doesn't work out over here. Your whole taina has no validity. So Zok the Medrash, Oid Lonu Liyam Adin, Oid Lonu Mitachacha, what are we going to do? So now the Kliyaka is beautiful. The Kliyaka says, this whole Medrash, this whole story of Yosef was to teach us this very, very powerful message. Very important lesson for us to learn at this time is that we have to realize that we're going to, we always justify things. And that's just human beings. That's the nature of a human being is we like to justify. I say if, the best thing is if you would give this, if your friend would tell you this excuse and you'd accept it, so then you know it's a good excuse. If your friend would tell you this excuse and you'd look at him and say, come on, this is bogus, so then it's bogus. We have to somehow take the negias out of these decisions and say, you know what, I'm not going to be a negeba davar, I'm going to step out from such a decision. And that's really this time of year in Asar B'Teves. The Rambam writes, Mishnah Berurah brings the halacha that the idea of Asar B'Teves, it's not about the fasting, it's not about the going hungry. Kodesh Baruch Hu wants to see our change of action. Now, Kodesh Baruch Hu says that we changed, that we're working on change, we're working on improving ourselves. It's very appropriate. This parasha where we're learning about, we're not, you know, doing things or acting a way that's not really honest. We're working on improving ourselves. The Rambam writes that the whole idea of the Tanesim is about introspection. It's about hirut tshuva. It's about pishpush maisim. It's about changing. It's not about, you know, okay, how many hours is it almost over? You know, the big shell I had was this, can they watch the football game at 4:45? Because it's after Shkia, but it's before Tzeis Gechavim. So it's a big football game this week at 4:45. So the question is, can they watch the game? Should they feel bad watching the game? This, that, and the other. Right? Yeah, that was the shell. Right, so if they're losing, it says big atzah. I don't know. 4:45 is game starts. My stomach, the game doesn't really get good till after Tzeis. Okay, I think they're sniffing lahaka maybe. But the point is, you know, many people treat this fasting because it's so short, it's like it doesn't count. We spoke about in Tuesday night show, if anything, Asar B'Teves lahalacha is even more severe than other fast days. The Be'alacha has it sad that it's treated like the 9 days today, and you can't do laundry, and you can't go shopping, you can't get haircuts, etc., etc. Whether or not that's a niskabel lahalacha is debated. But the idea is that this is a very serious fast, even though, again, one can argue what happened today. This was just the haskholas ha-chorban. This wasn't the chorban. This lasted for another 2.5 years. However, this is the beginning. We always have to look at the haskalah, what causes the beginning. Now is the time to change it. If Klai Yisrael would have woken up in the beginning, before it got to Tisha B'Av, before it got to Shavasa B'Tamuz, Klai Yisrael could have changed path. So we have to wake up earlier, not when it's too late, not when we come like Achamei V'Esma, Kosh Baruch Hu says, okay, let me hear your excuses, then we have nothing to answer. We got to come before that and fix all our excuses, all our claims, and try to see what can we do to improve our lives. And this way we'll be mekayim the Navi idea of fasting, not just going hungry for a few hours. That's not what the Navi wanted of us. The Navi tells us that Kosh Baruch didn't see by Ninveh, he didn't say they're fasting, and so they change of actions. Our idea over here is to try to change and improve. The silver lining over here is the Medrash tells us that Kosh Baruch really wanted to destroy the Beis HaMikdash in Tevis. Kosh Baruch wanted to destroy the Beis HaMikdash right now. But out of the mercy he has for the Jewish people, he felt bad that to go into Golos when it's so cold, and Klai Yisrael would suffer even more, Kosh Baruch said, you know, I'm going to delay it. I'll push it off till the summer when it's a little warmer and therefore not as hard for the Bnei Yisrael. So that's something we should take in mind, balancing today the day of Asar B'Teves. On one hand, we're working on improving, realizing the Haskalas HaChurban, realizing what's the beginning of the downfall. We have to stop it before it turns into a downfall. But Mitzad Sheni, we have to keep in mind the great Racham of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that even though today he really wanted to destroy the Beis HaMikdash, it was only because he loves us so much and he cares so much for us and he knew how it's really cold today. You can't get a colder day than today. The cold and the snow, maybe not so much in Eretz Yisrael, but he knew how cold it would be for the Jewish people and out of his love for us. And that should really motivate us to want to become better. Because it's not just that Hashem is this foreign entity, HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us, and therefore we should go back to Him and try to improve. And therefore we should make Asar B'Teves very meaningful, and Mitzvah Hashem, it should be like the Navi tells us, Yu L'Sasin U'L'Simcha. We left off a while back, we got to get back into the Sigya, we left off with this thing called Kinyan Agav. The Gemara told us in Kiddushin, and it came a little bit in Gittin about a type of kinyan called kinyan agav, that if a person wants to acquire two things, one property and one metaltalin, so he makes a ma'aseh kinyan on the karka, and automatically, somehow, magically, he ends up with the metaltalin. Some magic trick called kinyan agav. If he makes a kinyan on one, he gets the other. Now, it only goes one way, it doesn't go the other way, which means, if I make a ma'aseh kinyan on metaltalin, I will not get a piece of land. However, if I make a ma'aseh kinyan on karka, if I do meshicha, chazaka, whatever mode works to be kind of karka, I will automatically acquire the metaltalin, no kinyan necessary. So what we talked a lot about last week was, does this type of magical kinyan work when you're dealing with one-sided purchasing? For example, let's say you have hefker. There's no owners. I've seen open property of land, open metaltalin, it's all free for the grabbing. All I got to do is go out and make a ma'aseh kinyan. Do we say in that case the ma'aseh of kinyan agav would work as well or not? Do you say, no, agav only works when there's two parties, where there's a koine, me, I'm the buyer, the machna is the seller, and then there's a magical trick called kinyan agav. Without that, if it's just one-sided, just me acquiring, then kinyan agav doesn't work. So the way we set it up a few weeks ago, we left it off as a big machloikas achrayna between the ktsais and the sibs. The ktsais was of the opinion that you don't need another party to create kinyan agav. Kinyan agav is about you. If you want to be a kinyan on one, you'll get one and two. You don't need a das machna from the other party. What was the ktsais's raya? The ktsais brought a raya from the Gemara and Bava Kama. The Gemara and Bava Kama talked about a case where a person wanted to steal something and be kind of a stolen object through kinyan agav. And the Ktzais brought a Rashi in Baba Kama that Rashi says that Kinyanagav works to acquire stolen property. So the Ktzais pointed out, one second, stolen property is only one-sided. There's no Das Acheres Makne. The stolen party is not willfully giving you his stuff. So it's one-sided. And you see, Kinyanagav works one-sided. So that was the Ktzais' conclusion that Kinyanagav works even one-sided. The Nesivis and others and the Chassam Sofer, a whole list of Achreinim disagree, and they think Kinyan Agav needs to have a Das Acheres Makta. There needs to be another party that's giving you ownership through the things that you transfer. They bring some of the rayas, I think, a little hard to understand. One raya that many Achreinim work with is because of the Pasuk. The whole din of Kinyan Agav is learned from a Pasuk, and in the storyline of the Pasuk, it was a two-way street. There was someone being Makta to someone else. The Chazinish and others have an idea that the only way Kinyan Agav works is somehow we're lumping these two things together. The only way you can bring these two things together is if one person is selling these two things. If I'm selling you these two things, then you can buy these two things. But if there's no one putting them together, such that you, the buyer, it lacks somehow bringing the two together. That's the Ke'ein Divrei HaChazinish. But we left off last time, and this is a very serious thing. Machlokes Achrayim. The Ktzais over here, number one, asks a kash on himself. The Gemara in Bava Metzia, which we saw in the same Gemara in Kiddushin, talks about a case where a bunch of rabbis were on a boat, and they realized, or one of the rabbis realized he didn't take off Ma'aser yet. And he has Meiser sitting in his house, he wants to take off Meiser. So he says to the other rabbi, he says, listen, you're a Levi and you're an Ani, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you guys my Meiser. This way I'll give you my Meiser, I'll be Yotze, my mitzvah's Meiser, and everything is good. But they're all on a boat, and my Meiser's at my house. How's this going to work? So the Gemara says, what he did was, is he told them, listen, here's a few dollars, here you'll own my property, and when you'll own my property, and the Meiser's on my property, you'll be kind of the Meiser through the property. The Gemara in Bava Metzia has a whole discussion. What mechanism did he use to be kainit? So the Gemara first thinks it's chotzer. I gave you the property. Property's yours. You're kainit the property that's in the, you're kainit the metatlan that's in the property. The problem with that pshat, we all know, is you can't do that if it was there before the kasha from the Shita Sashach. So the Gemara says, no, that's not the case. We're talking about it was Kinyan Agav, which means he sold him the piece of property. They own the property. And Agav, the property, the Levi and the Ami will be kainit the mice. So the Gemara says it can't be. Why says the Gemara says it can't be? Gemara says, I have a very fundamental question over here. Why don't he just do chalipin? We know kinyan chalipin is the easiest kinyan. If I want to give you something, so what I do is I pick up a handkerchief, and that somehow magically exchanges whatever I wanted to sell. So here also, the rabbi who wanted to get rid of his meiser, so why didn't he just give the other one a handkerchief, pick up the handkerchief? They got to have a handkerchief on a boat, right? That's one of the top things you take on a boat, is a handkerchief, right? So therefore, why didn't he just do chalipin, and he'll give the meiser to the guy sitting on the boat with kinyan chalipin? Why was it so complicated? So the Gemara says, you know why? Because Toivas Hano Eine Mamon. Because the one who owns the Meiser doesn't really own the Meiser. It's not his Meiser. He has what's called Toivas Hano. Toivas Hano means he has the right to decide whom he wants to give it to. I can give it to this Ani, I can give it to this slave, this guy's my next to neighbor, this guy's my best friend, I like this guy, I don't like this guy. That's all you have the rights to do with these types of Matnas Aniyim or Matnas Kahuna. You don't actually own it, you give it. You give an Asina for you to an Ani, you to a lady. You have no types of ownership to start making kinyanim with it. To make fancy kinyanim, that's when you're an owner. When I own something and I want to transfer ownership from me to you, so then kinyanim help me get that to you. But I don't own it. The grain that's sitting in my backyard doesn't belong to me. It's not mine. I don't own it. I have a mitzvah to distribute it, and if I don't distribute it, I'm in trouble. But I don't exactly have ownership on that. The way kinyanim work is when you own something, you transfer ownership through Ma'aser Kinyan. So the Gemara says you don't have any ownership. If you don't have any ownership, you can't transfer it to someone else.
What does it mean, Eino Momo? It does have monetary value.
Yeah, okay. That's a discussion over there in the Gemara, beyond for today. But yeah, that's the discussion, how to learn Tevas Hana. The Gemara assumes over there Tevas Hana Eino Momo, and the Lashon of Rashi is, therefore it's Hefker. Therefore it's Rashi, it's Hefker. Right? Pasha's not a ganav. Unless if you... No. Unless you all tevis on a moment, then you might have to pay tevis on a... Right? It's mamash and le'tovim. That's the problem. There's no one to... Who are you going to collect from? The kahuna, the shevet. So therefore, zok to gemara, it can't be kinyan agav, because it wouldn't work for kinyan agav either. The same way, kinyan chalipin doesn't work by ma'aser, kinyan agav doesn't work by ma'aser either. Frektik tzoyz, one second. According to me, that kinyan agav works from hefker, so why couldn't kinyan agav work by ma'aser as well? The whole problem the gemara had is that you don't really own it. You don't own the money. Since you don't own the meiser, you can't really be machne to someone else. Fractic choice, but I don't really need anyone to own it. Let's say it's Toivas Hana Eine Mamon, it's Hefker. Great. I hold that Kinyan Agav works for Hefker. So if I hold Kinyan Agav works for Hefker, Fractic choice, so Lishitasi, according to me, why does the Gemara reject the ability of it being Kinyan Agav? Let Kinyan Agav work. Let Toivas Hana not be Mamon. Let's look at the meiser as if it's complete Hefker. So what? Kinyan Agav Hefker still works. That's the kasha that Tzoyz asks on himself. If you look over here, number one, the Ktzai says, According to the law, I concluded that Hefka works as long as it's piled up, which we have to talk more about. M.K. My parich Rava me chalipin. Why did Rava ask a kasha from chalipin? That just like chalipin doesn't work, kinyan agav doesn't work. Ha chalipin vadalei nikna. You can't be kinyan with chalipin, given the tevas hanoi any moment. The hefkahu. And therefore the meiser has a status of hefka, and you can't be makna something through hefka with chalipin. The MK loymatzi bailam haknoisa bechalipin. So that the owners can't transfer ownership, given the law of the bailam, who doesn't belong to the owners. Aval agav karka shaper nikna. But agav works with things that are hefker. Given the tevas in a moment, vafkuri ba'almahu. So you'll tell me, what's the status of this meiser? This grain that's sitting in my house is hefker. So what? The same way you could be kainy kinyan agav dvarim hefker, why can't you be kainy here dvarim of hefker?
Why is it in a moment?
Because we hold that the relationship that you have with your meiser that you need to distribute is not really yours. You don't have ownership on it. So therefore, it's not mama with regard to consider it yours and therefore being able to transfer it to a meiser kinyan. Meaning, you don't own it enough to say that I can therefore transfer ownership from me to you. You can give it to the Kohen, you give it to the Levi, you make an Asina. But to say that you're going to transfer it to one of the ways of Kinyonim, in order to transfer through a Kinyon, you have to have ownership. You don't have ownership on this stuff. No, that's Rashi. Rashi says, Toiva Sano Ein Amam, it means, and therefore it's like a piece of Hefka. That's how Rashi understands the words of the Gemara. The relationship that you have to this Meiser is the same thing as Hefka. You have no ownership on it.
Designate which
slave
and which
coin. Right, that's what Tervis Anah is. Tervis Anah means
which grain.
You can decide what and where, but your ownership that you have over it is not the type of ownership where you transfer ownership with. You don't have bailus on it.
That's the post designation? I mean, this is not, it's not what it's already included. It's not while it's still included with the rest of it.
No, this is his corner that he left off. Right. This is his one tenth in the left corner of the field he's going to give. And he says, listen, here, this is yours.
He already separated it out?
He separated, let's say. So he has no ownership per se that this is my grain. So if I want to transfer to you, in order to transfer things, you have to have ownership. At least through a mechanism of a kinyan. I can give it to you. That's what the Torah said. Nelson, so I give it.
Right.
Yeah, I'm not giving
it.
What's
the difference if I give it to you physically or if I make a halachic kinyan?
Right, so the assumption of the Gemara is that in order to transfer ownership through Darki Kinyanim,
the only way I can do it is by physically.
Right, you give it to him as that's part of your job as a meiser owner, so to say. So Frek the Ktsois, I don't understand. You, the Ktsois asks on himself. I just told you that if you walk into a free field, you can do kinyan agav all day long. So what's the problem over here? You tell me because the produce is considered hefker. So what? Let the produce be considered hefker. You're allowed to be kind of kinyan agav through hefker. So why does the Gemara have a kasha? That's the Ktsois' kasha on himself. So the Achareinim say that your moms don't understand where the Ktsois is coming from. There's something very different about this case than the case of a regular hefker. What's going on in this case? You have the owner giving the property, and then the metaltalin being hefker. Let's remember the storyline over here. Is that you have Reb Gamliel giving away his field, and the meiser along with it. And the Gemara thinks it should work well as agav. How does agav work? I'm selling you my field, and along with my field, you get my metaltalin. Now, my field is not hefker. My field is mine. I'm selling it to you, and my metaltalin is hefker. And on that, we're saying, let's make a magical kinyan agav and make this work. So Reb Chaim Mitels says like this. Number two. He says he doesn't understand what the Ktsais was thinking. And it's a gewaltig point. He says the following lomnis. When does the Ktsais hold that Hefka works by Kinyan Agav? That's if the Kine is doing both. I mean, I come to a free Hefka field with Hefka Metaltalin, then my Maisa Kinyan on the field gives me the Metaltalin as well. Why? How does that work? So he explains, you could say, even though there's really no das machne, because it's hefker, that connects the two, which is what the Chazanish thought was the problem, in every case of no das acheris. What connects the two? Here he says, what's the problem? I'll connect the two. When I'm kind of both things, my das, to be kind of A, connects A and B, and I get the whole package. Avol gabi kinyin kesef. That's all fine if I walk over to the piece of property, I make a Maisa Kinyan on the piece of property, and I want my Maisa Kinyan on the piece of property to go for the Metaltalin as well. But that wasn't the storyline over here. Avol gabi kinyan kesef. When you talk about buying things with money, the kaimbalon shleide mashinais and a kinyan if a kinyan. How does kesef work? We spoke about this a lot in the beginning of Kedushin. Besides for the machlokes of the taz and the sma, what the elements of kinyan kesef over here is, what makes kinyan kesef? The giving of the money or the receiving of the money? So obviously you're thinking both. You need a receiver and a giver, right? Says Reb Chaim Mitels, he thinks the way it works is, it really works, El Aidei Mashakibul HaMoicha. It's the seller getting the money. His acceptance of the money is what creates Chalois Kinyan Kesef. When you buy something from the store, it's not you're giving the money, it's him accepting the money. When he accepts the money and then decides, okay, fine, I'm accepting your money, that is what creates kinyan kesef. Now, if so, borrower, it's clear, shebehefker she'ein moicher lo'i ma'ani shikna kake bekesef. Okay, what was the storyline over here? In the storyline, he gave him money, and he gave him money to acquire the field. And by giving money to acquire the field, he got the metaltlan as well. Tanya Reb Chaim tells, he says, what are you talking about? Over here you can't use hefker, because over here, what kinyan did you use to get the karka? You use the kinyan that needs another party. Kinyan kesef works from the giver, right? So by kinyan kesef, I need another party. So by kinyan kesef, I'm claiming the karka because there were two parties. And now you're telling me, oh, now that you own the karka, you should own the metaltlan also. You can't do that. Because to own the karka, you use kinyan kesef. Kinyan kesef was a kinyan that needed two parties. And now you only have one party, because now the metaltlan is hefker. So now you can't pull off this magic trick of kinyan agav. If both things are hefker, and I walk over and make a ma'aseh kinyan on one, so my ma'aseh kinyan on A gets me B also. But over here, I didn't make a ma'aseh kinyan on the karka. I paid for it. I use kinyan kesef. The way kinyan kesef works is from a two-party agreement. So the way I got the karka was through two parties. I can't get the metaltlan now with one party. That's his chiddush.
Why do we say that the kinyan agav works with the same kinyan as karka? The kesef is working for both the karka.
Right. So that's really goes back to what we're going to get to a little later today, the fundamental shayla of how this all works. When I'm making a ma'aseh kinyan on A, is that ma'aseh kinyan jumping on A and B, or the ma'aseh kinyan for A somehow is good enough for B as well? That's the big chakira in how kinyan agav works.
I mean, no one holds Moses Kono, so whether it's the rice or the Rabban is my focus, but Moses is not Kono by metaltlan.
Right. That's part of the kasha. That's the kasha, unless you say that this is the exception to the rule, like it's mavur like that in the Mishnah Daf Chavav and Kedushin. The Mishnah says kol mechosim sheila machrayis.
You kone the karka and agav the karka. You kone the.
Unless you learn the chiddush of kinyan.
Say that the kesef works.
Well, that might be one of the chiddush of kinyan agav is that normally you're right. I can't use kesef to buy metaltlan, but when I'm doing it through kinyan agav.
In this case, we're trying to split them.
Right.
It shouldn't work.
Right. So this is his chiddush. His chiddush is that over here it doesn't work because I split it with kesef. Because the way I acquired property was with kesef, I can't turn around and then acquire hefker through metal. That's what Chaim tells his pshat. The stipler has a slightly different understanding. The stipler says in number 3, maybe you're right. The tzais agrees that hefker is nikneh ba'agav. That's if both things are hefker. The land is hefker and the metaltlan are hefker. Why? Then everything becomes mine in one big sweep. I get everything. That's the lomdus. The hainu b'toyes mam and hefker. That's the case of nichse hage. That was the case in Baba Kama. The case in the story in Baba Kama was where both things were hefker. The property was hefker and the animal was hefker. But it says the stipler, but in the Gemara's case, it was different. The other Gemara's case is the metaltlan were hefker, but the property belonged to you. So if the property belongs to me, and I want to be kaina hefker metaltlan, then it's like splitting two separate things. Hard to understand why.
So it's worse?
Yeah, it's interesting. I would have thought, what's the difference? If there's a kinyan called kinyan agav, I buy A, I get B. So over here, I bought the land, so with the land, I get the metaltlan. He's saying that would be true if you actually bought ownerless land. But because you bought land from someone else, and there was an interpersonal relationship, and then you want to get metaltlan that have no ownership, that somehow breaks the chain.
You can make a case just the opposite. That it should be harder if it's totally after. Because there's no one else pushing. At least here, you have
right.
One party pushing.
The right, so he'll probably tell it the other way. He'll tell you that one party makes it now that you can combine the two things. Bishlama, if there's zero, so then I'm the kohen to combine the two. Mashenke, if you tell me there's two separate parties over here, so then what connects the two? That's his kasha. So therefore the stipler says that's the answer for the Tosis problem on himself. Again, hard to understand a lot of these svaris, because again, if we're going to go with the storyline in the pasuk, so then you're right. Then it has to be almost like the storyline. The storyline of the pasuk was, I sold you two things. I gifted you two things. Not that one was a sale and one was a matah, was hefker. So, a shtickle tzarechin and how the tzais himself is going to deal with this problem. Okay. There's a very important Gemara in Kedushin that we need to see, which I don't remember if we did learn or we didn't learn, but in any case, it comes up very important, both in Kedushin and both in Kinyan Agav. The Gemara in Kedushin number 4 starts like this. Boyi rove, hei lechmona v'kadesh anilach. If a lady gives the money to the man, real reversal over here. She gives the money to the man. She tells him, I want to get married. Okay, she gives the money. Zogti Gemara Mekudeshes. It works. So all the chassas, we go to where he gives the ring. You don't have to do it that way.
Oh, it's an important person.
That's the end of the Gemara, right? That's the end of the Gemara. Well, that's before the Gemara gets to that conclusion. The Gemara works through, how can this make any sense, that if she gives him money, Kedushin works. So Zog to Gemara, Omle Vashi, the Mazutra, Im Kein, if so, Havale Nechasim, Sheesh La Machrayis, Niknin Im Nechasim, Sheen La Machrayis. The Havamina of the Gemara thought over here, that it works through Kinyan Agav. What's Agav? The lady gives the man money, so the man buys, owns the money, and through the money, he gets the Isha also. That's the package deal. That's the Kinyan Agav. The Kinyan Agav is he acquires the money. She gave him money. He acquires the money. And now that he owns the money, he acquires her as well for Kinyan Agav. So the Maisa Kinyan that he makes on the money is good enough to give him money and the wife. That's the Havamina of the Gemara. Pretty wild Havamina, right? That's the Havamina of the Gemara. Frank the Gemara, now, if we were writing the Gemara, we could have come up with a lot of reasons why this Gemara should be disproved. What's the bomb cash the Gemara says? It doesn't go that way. You don't get metaltalin and then get the karka. It's, if you get karka, you get the metatlin. Here it's working backwards. Over here you're saying that the man owns the money, and now that he owns the money, he gets the lady also. But it doesn't go that way. The money's metatlin, the lady's karka, it's reversed. It doesn't work that way. Kinyan Agav only works if you get the karka, then you get the metatlin. That's the Gemara's kash. We learned it the other way around. It goes the other way around. It goes that if I buy karka, I can get metatlin with it. Not if I buy metatlin, I get karka with it. So that's the big problem in the Rishon. That's another issue in the Rishayim, right? So the Rishayim and Kedushin all tumble about this Gemara. If you were to read this Gemara simply, you would actually walk away from this Gemara saying that really Kinyan Agav can work by a lady, except there's a technical problem, it's going the wrong direction. That's what it sounds like. It would sound like Be'etzim Kinyan Agav is a viable option to be kind of a woman, but the reason why it doesn't work over here is because it's the wrong way. You can't buy metaltalin and get karka with it, you have to buy karka and get metaltalin agavit. So all the Rishayim ask the kasha one second. First of all, what's the status of a lady? Is the lady karka or is the lady metaltalin? So we talked a little bit about this in Baba Kama. The Gemara has a similar discussion, what's the status of an Eved? Eved ke metatlin dami, Eved ke karka dami. But the Rishayim point out, even if you hold an Eved as like karka, the Gemara made a comment that there's a type of a karka that's movable. Karka denaidi. The Gemara said you can't use movable property to do Kinyan Agav. Since the storyline talked about real property, you can't use property that moves. So if that's true here also, even if a lady would be considered karka, she'd be karka denaidi. She'd be transportable karka. Transportable karka, the Gemara says, you can't use it for Kinyan Agav. So there's a lot of problems over here with saying that they can work with Kinyan Agav. The Ritva, to me, I think asks differently than all the other Shem. All the other Shem have a basic storyline, Kasha, of what's the status of a lady. Is she karka or is she metatl? Frank the Ritva, Va'oid Kasha, number 5. Da filu havi agav gomor. The Kana Ba'alma, let's say Kinyan Agav works, everything is great. Hacha b'kedushin lo'y mahani. It won't work by Kedushin. Why not? Sokti Yirtva, shalei matzinu isha miskadeshes ba'agav. There's no Kinyan for Kedushin called Agav. The Agav lav midin kesefu kaina. Because Agav doesn't work through kesef, deshiyik nekan. Then it should work over here. We know there's three ways to be kainin isha. Kesef, shtar, bia. Which one would Agav be? Which one of these three does Agav fit under? It's neither. So Frektor Ritva can't be kind of Nisha, because there is no such Kinyan. Then he adds a little bit more to Tosefos Lamedus over here. He says, the Hatalmud Chalipin Gedol Me'agav. He says, throughout Shas, you'll see, Chalipin works more than Agav works. Ve'edim Kainim Sham. And we know he doesn't, Chalipin doesn't work. So if Chalipin doesn't work, so Agav doesn't work.
Yeah, but the Gemara explicitly says Chalipin.
Exactly, right.
Says Agav doesn't work.
Right, so this, the truth of this Ritva is a Shtikol Tali and Dav Gimel that we spoke about, that much I do remember, when we spoke about how to learn the Gemara's tain of why Chalipin doesn't work by Isha. If somebody show him, the reason why Chalipin doesn't work by Isha is because it's a new Kinyan. Huh? That's the words of the Gemara. If Isha and Isha, Pach Meshav, Prutal, and Makni Nafshe. That's the words of the Gemara, if you're going with the last words of the Gemara. The Ritva learned the Gemara, that the point over here is that Kinyan Chalipin is a new Kinyan. New Kinyanim need sources that they work by Isha. Meaning, the Havamina of the Gemara was the Chalipin is a byproduct of Kesef. So says the Ritva, if that's true, and Chalipin was rejected because it's a new Kinyan, so Agav is also a new Kinyan. So if Agav is a new Kinyanim need to have sources that they work. So the Ritva's problem over here is that it can't work for Kedushin for a more fundamental reason. Because Mechatesa, such a Kinyan exists for Isha. The Mishnah tells you the Kinyanim for Kedushin, and this is not one of them. Now, one could debate, if the way Kinyan Agav works is that the Kinyan for A works for B, so then it maybe does work. Maybe the Maisa Kinyan I do for A gets me B, so the way the Isha's nickness through B is through the Maisa Kinyan of A. A, what was A, whatever Kinyan I'll use for A, I'll get me B as well. So the Ritva finds it very hard to believe that there'd even be a possibility that Kinyan Agav works by Kedushin. So what? And this is the important part. The Ikalim Eimer, the Hachal Ravcha, the Milsa Loidal Kachatuva. So the whole Gemara, well, don't get bent out of shape that the Gemara sounds like that really Kinyan Agav Kork by Nisha. The Gemara never means that. The Gemara just means that the Gemara was working through different possibilities and the Gemara is trying to figure what's going on over here. But don't be medayik from this Gemara that there's a real possibility that Nisha could be kind through Kinyan Agav says, Ritzua, don't think such a thing. So the Achranim point out, they say, 1 second. If Kinyan Agav is a Kinyan de Rabbanon, how can a Kinyan de Rabbanon work to make a Maisa Kedushin? How can you have a Pu'ula a Kinyan on a de Rabbanon level to create a Kedushin de Reisa? If the Rishonim are right, that we spoke about many weeks ago, that the whole Kinyan Agav is de Rabbanon, so how would the Gemara have me that Isha should be married through Kinyan Agav? Should only be married de Rabbanon? Can't have a marriage de Rabbanon. But the Reisa, she's not an Isha's Isha. How's that going to work? So the Achranim want to say, oh, to write to us, that Kinyan Agav is really de Reisa. Since Kinyan Agav is de Reisa, that's what the Gemara thinks. You should do Kinyan Agav for Kedushin.
Yeah, because the Rabbanon.
If you learn the Rambam that way, right? So the Be'er Yitzchak, number 6, is quoted by the Sefer Dvar Yaakov. The Dvar Yaakov quotes his Be'er Yitzchak. The Be'er Yitzchak says, no, it's not a right. Why the Afsha have a midrabbanon? Maybe you write Kinyan Agav is drabbanon. It still can make a Kedushin derais. The same way the Gemara talks about, which I hope to get to sooner rather than later, the Gemara talks about a Kinyan called Kinyan Dalaramas. Anything that's within my 4 Amas and Rishas Rabbim is my area. So if a man were to throw a ring in a public area within 4 Amas of the lady, so she's kind of the ring, even though she never touches the ring, it's not her chatzar, it's not her bayis, it's not her bag, but he throws it within her Dalaramas. So the Gemara says that's a good Kedushin. Frakt Be'er Yitzchak, what type of Kedushin is that? She doesn't own that deraisa. Her whole ownership of this ring is only derabbanan. How could it be a Kedushin deraisa? So he says, the answer is, because we have a rule called Hefker Bez and Hefker. Bez, somehow Hefker Bez and Hefker creeps its way in over here, and called Makadosh, the derabbanan Makadosh, you'll throw in all those words, and somehow it works. Frakt Dvar Yaakov, it's Tzarech Bir, the Eina Doima. That's not a good comparison to here to over here. Why? The Hasam is Kadesh is Bekesef. Over there, what mode of Kenyan did she use? She used the money. There the problem is not the thing she used to make the Kenyan, but how do I make the thing hers? The money is a beautiful thing to use for Kedushin. But the problem is how do I get her to own the money? So Hefker Bez and Hefker is a miraculous trick that says now she owns the money. But over here the problem is not what you used, it's the actual Kenyan that you tried. The whole Kenyan is the Rabbanan. The whole Mahus HaKinyan is the Rabbanon over here. The whole mode that you use is the Rabbanon. Where's the Hefker Bez and Hefker over here? There's no Mamanus over here. If you come from the first Kesef.
Right. If you use the Kesef by the land.
Right. If you're using Kesef.
Right,
but you the problem.
The problem with
the Ramachad
is that you can acquire the metal. But again, the same thing. Just like the Dalaramos gets you to acquire it. So the
right. That would be if the husband were to buy, let's say the husband wants to buy land with money. And with the purchase of money, he wants to buy her also. So then I can hear, there's this Kesef Kedushin. Now let's go back to our Gemara for a second. In the case of the Gemara in the Havimin Bayos, what did he do? He didn't buy anything. He acquired Metaltalin, the money, and through acquiring the money, he got the lady as well. That's what happened. That's not the same case as what we're talking about over here. So the Achrayim all have a fundamental Kedushin cash over here. If the Isha gives the money, and that creates the Kedushin, that's not Kikach. We learned over and over and over that the way Kedushin works is he buys her. He gives the money to her. Here the Gemara is saying the other way around. Here the Gemara is saying she gives money to him and they get married. So Frakti Achrayim, how does that work? That's not Kiyikach. The Torah says he buys her. Not that she gets taken through it. He has to buy her. So when she gives him the money, how is that a fulfillment of the pasuk of Kiyikach? This is the kasha that many Achrayim ask. So if you look over here, number 7 of Gedaliah Finkel, he wants to give a very simple tarot. He says like this. Tzarech Bir. Where the lady gives the man the money, why isn't there a problem of chisikach? She's giving the money. So he says, "Vay gival the gateretz v'nira the avsho isha masra kesef abal avachalois akinyan nas aidei habal." Chisikach is not about who does the procedure; it's about who's actually making the kinyan. When the lady gives the man the money, it looks like she's buying him. But that's not what's happening. She's giving him money. He's acquiring the money. He's doing the Maisa Kinyan. And his Maisa Kinyan on the Metatlin gives him the Isha as well. So if you look at who's actually being poil the Kinyan, says Rabbi Gedaliah Finkel, who's actually doing the Kinyan is the man's doing the Kinyan. She's doing the physical action that gets the ball rolling. But if you want to know who bought whom, who made the Kiyikach over here, he says the one who made the Kiyikach was the man. The man bought the woman. How did he buy her? By acquiring the metaltalin, he got the metaltalin, and by that he got her as well. So, What? That is agav. Agav, I get the metalton, I get the karka as well, which is you. Now, I got the metalton because you gave it to me. That's fine. That's not a problem that you gave me the money. So therefore, says Rabbi Gadai, we don't look at who does the physical action, we look at who's actually doing the kinyan. So here it looks very funny, because if you watch this, you'd say to yourself, wow, she's buying him. No, she's not buying him. He's buying her, because he's acquiring the money, and by acquiring the money, he gets her as well.
That, we can make up all the lumps we want.
No, that's only true because that's assuming it's working with regular kinyan kesef. Here the nesina is masked in a lumdus kinyan behind it. That those sugyas that we did talk about, I think, right? I think we talked about, I remember anymore, okay? We talked about, though the problem was because then we were using kinyan kesef. Kinyan kesef goes one way, moichet alkech, right? Here we're using a fancy mice in the nesina to create a backdoor kinyan.
Well, so
maybe, maybe the fizet attack if you would come. Well, that's really the answer at the end of the Gemara about some of the creative Adam Choshev. That's really what the answer of Adam Choshev is. Adam Choshev really means that even though you gave to me, you really got more. So same thing here also. Even though physically I gave the money to him, he really made the Maisa Kinyan.
Does the Kessler remain with him or he returns it to
him? No, he owns it now. Okay. He owns the money and that was his Metatlin. And now the Metatlin, he gets the Karka as well. It's a package deal called Kinyan Agav. Oh, but there's one problem.
Just give her the money back.
Wait, what does he say?
He could.
When he acquires the money, then he could be kohen to her with Kessler because it's his money now.
Yeah.
But he has to do this whole...
And he could do that. This guy wants to be really lumdish. He wants to come up with this novel way of being Mikhail Shanisha. Yeah, I don't know. You're right. 100%. He could have done
it. They want to get married, so she goes, here, it's $10. Yeah. It's yours.
What he really could do is be kind of the money, then turn around and make...
What's the
that's
Amira?
Right. Right, that's the problem of exactly how you going to make the Amira. Hariyabu Deshesli Aidei Kinyan Agav. I guess you have to make it clear. But the problem that Rabbi Gadai Finkel points out, and many Achrenim point this out, is 1 second. This should be telling Machloikas Ktsois and Nesivis. Why should this not be told in Machlokes Tzoyis and Nesivis? Because you hold like the Tzoyis. I thought it was Pasha, right? So it says, because I think it says like this. Ach yesh ledor, ki ahiyam nichel dasak Tzoyis. This is all fine and dandy if you hold like the Tzoyis. Why? The shayach kinyan agav behefka. This is all fine and dandy if you hold kinyan agav works by hefka. What does that mean, kinyan agav works by hefka? If kinyan agav works by hefka, so how does kinyan agav really work? The koine is the one doing everything. The man, in this case, who's the koine? He buys A, he gets B, he's the one running the whole show. Haraya says, it says, I don't even need another party. So the woman who started the ball rolling is really irrelevant to the chalos. Right? Haraya, because she doesn't even need to be here according to the chalos. You can have a one-sided Kenyan Agav. However, he asks, but if you hold like the Nesivis holds, you need a Das Makne. So the woman is an active participant in this Kenyan happening. So when this story happened, she got the ball rolling. She was attributed to the Maisa Kenyan. Why is it not now a problem that she did too much of the Kenyan? She's too involved in Kiyikach. That's his kasha. If you hold like the tzoyis, so according to the tzoyis, she's not involved at all. She doesn't do anything. I don't need her. Haraya, I could do the same thing without her here. Because kinyan agav works als the koina. The buyer is the one who makes kinyan agav work. But if you hold like the nesivis that you need another party, so when she gives him the money, or gives her herself, she's actively helping the maisa kinyan take place. Should that, or does that present the problem of her being too involved in the kinyan for kiddush? That's the horror that he has.
Why would it be a problem with her?
Because that's as if she's making the Maisa Kinyan.
She's a Makna, she's always the Makna.
Oh, so that's the kasha. The question is, why is that different than just consenting? So that's what he talks about with the Ran and the Dharm. He wants to go back to this whole Ran and the Dharm where every time Kedushin works, she makes herself like Hefka. So if the Pshav, she makes herself like Hefka, then she's really not involved. She's really just enabling herself to become Hefka, and now he can kind of swoop up and take her. Now, obviously, you need her consent. You can't have any Kinyan with her screaming and yelling. You need to have a consent. But the point is, she's not really an active participant in the Maisa Kinyan. Yes, she needs to accept the money, but and you need her consent. But she's very much a passive role. Masha Inkin, if you learn that the only way the Kenyan works is because of my consent to make the Kenyan happen, you need me in the Kenyan, so then he assumes that means she's too involved in the Kenyan, that's a problem of Kikach. Now, so what does he answer to this Kasha? He answers like the Ritva. Don't get so bent out of shape about this Gemara. This Gemara was a Havamina Sheba Havamina that the Gemara rejected. Don't get so, how's this going to work in Lomdus? It doesn't have to work in Lomdus because it's not true. That's his Ha'ara. Reb Steinman, in number 8, points out something which is interesting. He says, Bechlal, he doesn't understand how Kinyan Agav works over here. What Kinyan did the man make on the money? He made Kinyan Meshicha. He picked up the money, and then when he picks up the money, he gets her as well. Says Reb Steinman, does that work for Kinyan Agav? I pick up something in my hand, and then I get a property that's sitting over there? He says, maybe not. Kinyanim of like Meshicha and Hagbah, they're not Stama Maisa Kinyan. You do an action. They're Kinyan because they're in your hand. They're under my control and they're in my hand. Those types of things, he finds it hard to believe you can extend that to another type of thing. If it's a regular Maisa Kinyan to Alma, so the Torah says, you make a Maisa Kinyan, that transfers ownership. So he thinks, so good. So if I make a Maisa Kinyan, one, I get two. But if the makeup of the Maisa Kinyan is fundamentally because it's in my hand, it's Tachas Yodi, how does that spill over to a piece of property sitting next to me? So he wants to suggest that over here, how did the man get the money in the first place? He was Kainei with Mashiach. He picked up the money, and now he owns the money. You're going to tell me that picking up of the money gets him the Karka? There's absolutely no connection between those two things. This became his because it's in his hand. How does this in his hand equal this property sitting on the ground over here? So he says, you have to say from over here, Chiddush LaHalacha, that the lumness of Kinyan Mashiach is not about because it's in my hand. Mashiach and Hagbah is the same Maisa Kinyan as Chazaka and Shtar. It's a Kinyan. The Torah says, do Kinyanim, you get ownership. Not because it's actually sitting in my hand and under my control. So the Torah says, do a Maisa Kinyan, Maisa Kinyanim give you ownership. So therefore, here also, I did a Maisa Kinyan on the Metatlin, I get the karka as well. It's just a shtickle chiddush and lamdus. We talked about this in other areas that maybe kinyan mashicha and hagba are taka because my hands are on them. I'm involved in it, not because it's just a regular maisa kinyan of transferring of bibles. Yeah.
If you call a behema over to you, that's kinyan mashicha, no?
That's another type of kinyan mashicha. That's another way of using kinyan mashicha.
See, it doesn't have to be in your hand.
Right. Well, that's more of a control type of thing. So if I have control over a, yeah, I'm not saying it's a kasha. That's the way he understands kinyan mashicha. Okay, well, we really have to wrap up the sugya with, nothing like wrapping up on a fast day when it's freezing cold outside. We have to wrap up with the last piece of the sugya. How does Kinyan Agav work? We talked about Kinyan Agav for probably 6 weeks already, and we never got to the very fundamental question of how does this magic trick work? We know when it doesn't work by Hefker, it doesn't work like this. So how does this work? I walk over to, let's assume there's two parties involved. Someone wants to sell me something. So he tells me, listen, I'm going to sell you the house, and make a nice Kinyan on the house, and you'll get the Metaltlin as well. How does that magic trick work? So all the Acharonim, I guess the earliest of the Acharonim to talk about this Chakir is when Chaim tells, and he clears the Chakir like this. Number 9. Omnom. Near the Yesh Lodin. The Ikud Kinyan Agav Mahu. How on earth does this Kinyan Agav work? In name do we say, that Kavoni hi Shemaisa HaKinyan Shenasa B'Karka Poyel Gamba Matatlin? When I make a Maisa Kinyan on the land, that Maisa Kinyan somehow works for the Matatlin as well. V'hainu. Even though the things that you use to be kind of karka don't work for metaltlin, let's take an example, shtar. I wrote a shtar on a piece of property. You can't write a shtar on metaltlin. If I want to sell someone movable objects, I don't write a shtar on it. That doesn't work. So over here, when I wrote a shtar on the piece of property, so I'll get the property plus the metaltlin. Even though normally a shtar doesn't work for metaltlin. Hainu kishimakna oisim levad. That's if you do it separately. Aval kishimakna oisim yachad im mekarkoi moilim gam ametaltli. So the first side of the Chakir is that the Kinyan of A somehow works for B as well. Now it's not the pshat that you get A, you don't need a Kinyan on B. Kinyan need B, everything needs a Kinyan. So where's the Kinyan on B? The Chiddush is that the Kinyan that I made on A spills over to be Chal on B also. The bigger Chiddush is that the Kinyan works even though it normally doesn't work for such a thing. If I'd write a shtar straight on Metaltlin, it wouldn't work. Here when I write a shtar on the Karka, that shtar is valid for the Metaltlin as well. That's a very big Chiddush. That's one side of understanding the Chiddush of Kinyan Agav. So that's a machlokes in the Gemara. We have to get a little later today. Next week, what do you have to say when you do Kinyan Agav? Do you have to speak this out or not? Which is very negated to the Lomas. We'll have to get to that.
So the Machne, maybe the same question. Does the Machne have to always know that he's selling them at the
house? Right, so we're going to get, we need to talk more about why it's so important to word it and how you word it. Do you have to say the words Agav? I'm doing this with it. Do I have to say with him Agav? Machlokes Mishayim. Hopefully we'll get to it a little later. So this is one side of the Chakir. Oy, Neima, the Alpha Pisha ain't Hamaisa Moyab Metaltlin, ain't a Chanami, you're right. You can't buy Metaltlin with Shtar. Mikol Eifin, I de Chalois Chiyose Bikarka, Zoyche Gam Bimetaltlin, Hagam Shlos Amaisa Behem. The other side of the Chakir is no. You never made a Maisa Kinyan on the Metaltlin, because the Kinyan that you did doesn't fit for this Metaltlin. So how do you get it? You get it anyways. Even though you never made a Maisa Kinyan on B, you get B along with A. Now that side obviously needs more explanation. How does that work? Some form of a package deal. I give you A, you get B, one big package. So the way he sets up the Chakir, we'll see in a second, the Stipe explains it a little bit more clearer. The Reim Chaim tells sets up the Chakir, side number one is, of course the Metaltlin needs a Kinyan. Everything you own needs a Kinyan. Just a Kinyan of A spills over somehow B for B. Again, I don't really know what those words mean. What does that mean? The Kinyan for A works for B and spills over for whatever words you want to use. Somehow the Kinyan that I made on the Karka is Chal for the Metaltlin as well. But the other side is, no, you don't have a Kinyan on Metaltlin. The Maisa Kinyan on Karka gets you a package deal of Karka and Metaltlin. Now, obviously, the second side will make a lot more sense if you learn it as one big package. Let's say, for example, the Metaltlin are sitting on top of the property. If the Metaltlin are sitting on top of the property, then it's much clearer to understand it's a package. then I understand. If I get the karka, I get the metalplan as a package because it's sitting on top of it. But if the karka is in New York and the metalplan is in LA, which Kinyan Agav also works, very hard to say that it's a package. Where's the package? How does the Kinyan here work for something over there? Then it's a little harder to understand. These are the two tzadim that everyone works with, how to understand the shayla of Kinyan Agav. If you go with his first tzad, that the way it works is that the Kinyan I do on A works for B, so then we can answer up the Mishnah on Daf Chavav. The Mishnah on Daf Chavav repeats itself. That when it repeats how Kinyan Agav works, it tells you how does Kinyan Agav work? The Kesef B'Shtar V'Chazav. Repeats again how you do Kinyan Agav. So Rabbi Kasavram asks, he says, what's the repetition for? We got the idea. Kinyan Agav works that whatever you buy land, you get Metalfim with it. Why repeat? Teretz is because Yesh Lod and how it's working. If the Pshat is that the Kinyan A works for B, but Kinyan A never can work for B, you can't buy land with Shtar. Taka Chiddush. How do I know I can buy land with a Shtar? So the Mishnah has to repeat itself and say, Kinyan Agav is a magical type of thing that when I do Maisa A, Kinyan A, on A, I get B also, even though normally this Kinyan would never give me B. That's the way he understands it. The way to understand the second side of the Chakira is it works with some magic called a Tuffle. Somehow it's a side point. Meaning when I buy you, when I sell you the land, you're really being claimed to the land. And this is Tuffle, this is a side byproduct, so to say, and therefore no Maisa Kinyan is necessary. I guess you could be toileted in the Shaila that the Chazon Ish talks about with Ikar and Tuffle by Brachas. As a big machlokes achrenim, how does Ikar and Tuffle work by Brachas? Machlokes, you call it Moshe and the Chazon Ish maybe. How does Ikar and Tuffle work by Brachas? When a person takes a cracker and he puts a piece of herring on it, assuming he doesn't, assuming he makes one bracha, whatever bracha he's going to make, how does that work? Is the pshat that because of Tuffle, it's one whole package now? And the way you look at it is this one package, and I made a bracha on the package? Or Tuffle means it's so insignificant, it doesn't need a bracha. That's the other.
Can you do metalfon? I have a diamond. That's what.
No, the problem is the problem. In theory, the problem with that is that the Gemara has its rules that Kinyan Agav can only go one way. We can.
We're kind of
working with Gzeres HaKasav over there. We're kind of up against the wall. Meaning we could say all the lomdos we want, but we have to fit the psukim that the Navi gave us about how Kinyan Agav works. So a similar idea over here is the pshat. Grad achreinim over there with Hechos Brachas don't like that side because the Gemara says Asla Henes Menem Zebelei Bracha. How can you tell me that it's okay for me to eat this without a bracha? It's a tuffle. But the mice, I'm enjoying it. It's going down and I'm getting pleasure at it. So many achreinim don't like that side to say that it's tuffle like that.
You say by Ben Kukua the same thing with
the Kiyam. What?
Is it that one shechita works for both or the second or the
right? Whenever you talk about right, this type of tuffle, right. Same chakir. Whenever you deal with a tuffle and a nicker, you got to figure out how it's working. Okay, we'll stop here. Mitzvah Shem, next week we'll wrap this sugya up and hopefully go further in Maseches Gittin. That's officially what we're learning. This Sunday shiur.